Hey, this is Bear. Thanks for listening in to In the Chair with Bear. Today's guest is a friend that I met recently. His name is Jan Arroda from Spain. He showed up kind of like an angel in my life, helping me with telling my story. And we've been having these great conversations. He's a genius marketer, really great storyteller. And he just has a natural way of listening and asking great questions. And our conversations have kind of blossomed into such incredible information that we realized we should record this and put it out to the world as a podcast episode. So this is our conversation, and I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for listening in.
All right, man. This is awesome. So to give everyone context, we've been working together on the Bear Blend Project, which is spreading awareness about ceremonial herbs to people, you know, and, you know, we saw obviously the herbal blends and we saw all these different herbs, but it's more about like really rekindling our relationship to the plant world and to plant medicines as a way to reconnect to ourselves. And, I think it's so amazing what we've done already this year to open ourselves up and listen more to our audience, you know? And like, it's kind of been mind-opening what everybody's saying. Don't you agree?
Yeah, it's been beautiful to see how many people resonate with the message and for how many people, like, it really feels like the biggest benefit is feeling more intentional. And that's been like just really cool.
Yeah, that was like totally mind-opening for me that, you know, a lot of people are coming with this sort of looking for herbs to help with anxiety, but they're getting into this more intentional living or just more intentionality with working with the plants. And I feel like that's the magic of these plants, you know? Like, I feel like there's a wisdom there that when you open yourself up to it, it helps us get to that transformation. It helps us to open up that doorway to ourselves.
Yeah, man, honestly, like, since I met you, I started thinking so much more deeply about plants, even though all my life I had a connection to plants. But your perspective and how you see plants in the world is something that's really, like, I don't know, just unique. And that's why I felt so cool to work with you. And like, I feel every time we talk, I have so many questions deeper in understanding. But based on what I saw that people were answering as well, I wanted to ask you, like, how do you see plants help the world today in day-to-day life?
I mean, honestly, I feel like the world is owned by the plants. Like, the plants are the ones who are here first. They're the ones who, like, own the world. Mm-hmm. Like, we're just visiting the world of plants. That's how I see the world, you know? So it's like, it's a plant kingdom. I mean, the plants dominate by you know, biomass, like, way more than animals or any other sentient being. And what's amazing right now is in the world of botany, there's a new book out. It's called Light Eaters, which I recommend to everybody. It's
light.
It's called Light Eaters. Yeah. But in the world of botany right now, they are realizing that plants are actually very conscious. Not only are they conscious, but they communicate. They have a language that they're now able to kind of start to understand and decipher. Plants have personalities. Like, once they're able to kind of learn that plants are communicating to each other, they were able to find out that there's certain plants that, like, you know, like, are complaining plants that everybody ignores, or there's plants that are, like, always really positive, or plants that are always really negative, like, literally having personalities. And, you know, these plants are communicating, they're listening to people, they're aware. And I think that is something that the botanical world is just opening up to, but, like, indigenous, you know, medicine workers and people that have worked with plants for thousands of years kind of already knew this, you know? Like, one of the things that my teacher like my first sort of like the guy who first started opening me up to this knowledge about herbs. One of the first things that he told me was, I was like, well, what's the best way to take an herb? You know, it's like tea, because everybody's like, oh, tea, tincture. You can do a salve. You can do, you can smoke it, all these things. Like, well, what's the best way to take an herb? What's the best way to take a plant? And I asked him that, and he was like, oh, the best way to get the medicinal value of a plant is literally to go and sit next to it and just like hang out with it and like be in its world, you know, just like, I'm sorry, my dog's like wants to be in the picture. He's like, what's up, dude? But just, yeah, just hang out with the plants, be in their world, like get to know what it's like to like be in their house, you know, to live with them. And that's the way you get the best medicinal value. And that was just like, I mean, at first you have to open your mind to that possibility that, oh, I don't need to take a dandelion tea to get like the liver tonic cleanse. No, you can actually just sit with in a field of dandelions for like a couple hours and just meditate. And that will start to like imbibe into your body. Like you'll start to, if you really listen to those dandelions, you'll start to feel kind of a deeper connection to them, and you'll start to be aware that there's something there, you know? And that, I think that awareness is like huge.
So like, sorry to interrupt, but I have a feeling that, you know, if you're first time being exposed to these type of words or energy or whatever, you might be thinking like, yo, what do you mean like talk to the herbs? That sounds wild, right?
So yeah,
we talk about an awareness, like how I'm kind of seeing it from what you're saying, as I'm trying to understand what does it mean to communicate with the plants. But like from my understanding, everything carries energy, which means it carries information, right? So there's different ways of how we put that information, get in connection with that information. And how did you come to the awareness that you open yourself up to that possibility?
I mean, I think that it's easier than it sounds. It's sort of like, you know, when you try to get outside yourself to listen to somebody really clearly, like let's say somebody's talking to you and you're like, okay, let me just, you can focus on the words that they're saying. You can look into their eyes. You can focus on the story that they're telling you. You can try to imagine what it's like to be them. You can, there's all these different ways of like listening very deeply to somebody, right? Like you can just, you can think, okay, well, what's this like for them? Or what's their life like? Or you can think, okay, I'm just going to imagine that I'm that person. Or you can even go, there's this thing in Tibetan Buddhism where they say, exchange oneself for others. So you can even go like, almost like you're walking in that person's shoes. Like, what does it feel like to be that person? What, how does that feel? You know? So in any of those ways, you can do the same thing with like with the plants or with the animals or anything, you know, like with the earth, with the sky, like, how does it feel to be the sky? How does it feel to be the planet? How does it feel to be this one plant? And you could think about it like that. You could also just like look really closely at it and, you know, like look at the flowers, look at the detail of like how this flower is coming out. Look at the, just look at the like minutiae of it, you know, just take it all in that this is like a living thing, you know, even just being aware that like, huh, this thing is actually maybe conscious. You know, they're saying that plants can see you when you walk into the room. They've played recordings for plants of certain insects. And this is all in this book, Light Eaters, by the way, but they played recordings for plants of certain insects, and plants will react as if that insect is there, which indicates they can hear. They're listening. Like it's a recording from a device, and the plant is putting out, you know, a sort of pheromone energy to, wow, to deflect against these bugs that are only in a recording. So they can listen. They're listening. So just that awareness, like, okay, just see it as an entity, as a being, and just check it out. Just hang out with it. Take it in. Just like you would like your friend or something. I don't know. Just, hey, what's up? You know?
Dude, that's wild. That's just wild. I mean, look, I love it, you know? Absolutely love it. I'm getting slightly paranoid. Like, imagine every plant is looking at you all the time.
Yeah.
But it is, right?
Yeah.
No, but it's crazy. Super cool perspective. And I feel like something that is coming across from what you're saying is like how much you're protecting the ceremony, because this type of thinking is like not how we think today. We have too much disconnection with the nature that we can even tap into that. While, you know, when I listen to you speak, I feel like I'm listening like the wisdom and knowledge from Native Americans or some, I don't know, like from people who lived in the tribes. And there's so many people living like that still today, but it's just so little compared to the rest of us.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's just like what you pay attention to, you know? But I always felt more comfortable out in nature. I always felt more like the most safe just in the trees. That's where I always felt the safest. You know, some people don't feel safe there though. Like they'll go out into the woods and be all alone and feel like scared, you know, they don't understand it. It's like being out of their element or something. You know, I get scared when I do like underwater exploration or something, like, you know, like that seems like a new world, right?
Yeah.
But for me, I feel safest there. Like I feel safe in the trees. That's where I feel like, oh, I can just relax. Like nobody's like you, I just feel like completely surrounded by love, you know? It's like sort of this unjudgmental love. That's what I feel like from the trees and stuff. Like I just feel that. And it's just very relaxing. Like, okay, I can finally chill, like get away from all this crap, you know? And not everybody feels that way though. And, I mean, we're constantly bombarded with information. We're constantly bombarded with like stuff to do and like ways to like measure our success and all these things, you know, that are just like, it's like overwhelming. And I don't think our bodies are ready for it. You know, like it's really interesting. I was actually listening to this thing just yesterday about, you know, like when telephones were first invented, like people would just, they didn't even understand how to use them. And they would just like randomly call people. And there was like this whole thing where people would just make prank calls. Like it would just call people and they wouldn't even say hello. Like there was no like way that people just didn't know. They would just start talking and nobody knew what was going on. Like they couldn't take it in, you know? And now it's like, we've only had smartphones for like 10 years. And it's just, I think we're still like, we don't know how to use it right. You know what I mean? And now we're just like gonna like, AI is gonna come in and just take over the world. And we don't know, like our bodies aren't really used to all this electromagnetic frequencies. You know, we have all this electricity, all these computers everywhere. I think we're sort of out of sorts, like with our kind of like genetic DNA, like connection to nature. Like this, we're wild animals. Like this is all very new to us, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just, it's kind of surprising to me, like when we set up and we have our like booth and we're sharing people about the herbs and stuff that people are like, oh, are you sure that herb's not poisonous or something? Like people are so disconnected from nature that they're more trusting of like a pharmaceutical or they're more trusting of like a processed food than they are of like a raw food or like picking a plant from the ground and eating it. It's like, oh, are you going to eat that? Like, that's crazy. It's like, no, dude, that is not crazy. Like that is the opposite of crazy. Picking a plant and eating it is the most natural thing in the fucking world. What's crazy is that you're buying like whatever Kellogg's Frosted Flakes and eating that. That's what's fucking crazy, you know? Yeah. But it's like, I don't know how we just completely went there. And now like, if I'm like walking in the woods with someone, I pick a plant and eat it. They're like, oh, what is that? That's crazy. You know, it's wild, I mean, to me.
We got so disconnected from our nature that now it's like nature starts feeling weird. You know, like when you're starting to become like more true to yourself, I think in the beginning it's weird. And that like imposter syndrome comes, which is basically just you're comparing your new version of you to like past version of you. And it just feels like weird. It's like, oh my God, am I actually authentic or am I not? Because I didn't used to be like this, you know? And now it's like, I feel like we come to this like weird mix where plants help us to stop and to remember our nature and feel like more calm. But we are so anxious that being calm is something that feels unsafe. We started like feeling safe while we are unsafe. And that's like so wild to me. Like when I observe myself as well, it's like, you know, taking a break to like just connect to the moment and realize, okay, this is the only real thing is what I'm feeling. Like herbs have like always have brought to me, because since a young age, I would, I don't know, like smoke chamomile or something, pretend like, you know, your parents smoke, so you would do it too and stuff like that. So it's so wild. Like when you talk about nature like that, it really feels like we are disconnecting. And I don't know, how is it in the U.S.? Because
it's way. I mean, it's worse in the U.S. I think. I mean, everywhere really, but like there are still people like that live out in the countryside. And what's interesting is like, you know, economically or like social status wise, like a lot of times people look down on people that are like living in the foothills of Appalachia or something like that. Like they're not, they're driving old beat up pickup trucks and they're not like at some sort of high echelon of society. But I've seen these guys like just roll up. I remember because when we had the farm, and my brother still lives out on the farm, but we had like, you know, the dog got like a groundhog one day or something. And this guy just like drove up and the dog was like coming running up with like big ground. I mean, and these groundhogs are giant. Like it's like huge, you know, giant groundhog. And this guy like rolls up in his pickup truck and he's like, oh, your dog got a treat for you, you know? And we're like, yeah, we're like laughing about it. And he's like, oh, you guys gonna eat that? You guys gonna skin that and eat that? And we were like, what? And I was just honest with him. I was like, dude, I don't even know how to skin that thing. Like I wouldn't know the first thing to do. And he's like, oh, you guys. And he jumps out of his pickup truck. He pulls out this knife. He skinned it like right on the spot, just perfectly, like amazingly. He like sort of skinned it, gutted it, fed the guts right to the dog. The dogs ate them. And then he had the meat and he's like, here, cook this up, put it in a stew. This is the best thing you'll eat in a long time. And I was like, I had to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, okay. So I did it. We made this like groundhog stew and it was incredible. It was so delicious and like tender. And it was amazing. And it's like, that is magic to me. You know, that kind of relationship that he had was so natural to him. It was so like, you know, and it's something that, I don't know, I think a lot of people almost would look at that and be like, oh, that's disgusting. Or, oh, that's, you know, that poor man, he can't afford like a real meal. So he has to eat groundhogs. It's like, no, this guy was like living in pure bliss bubble. Like he was just so appreciative of this creature, so appreciative of this moment, so connected to the natural like order of things. And when I see, you know, you see that him just living naturally in that way, it's like I had this whole other level of respect where I felt super humbled by this guy. I was just like, oh my God, like I don't even know the first thing about like how to live in like a world that, you know, like I was just like, I remember eating that stew and just being like, God, I don't know anything, dude. Like, what the fuck did I think I know? Like this guy just, he's fine. Like he's going to take care of his family. Like he's going to be able to hunt a deer, or he knows all these plants in the woods. He doesn't even know what their Latin names are, but he knows every single plant in these woods and what they're going to do and how to help you. And he just looks like this, you know, like whatever country guy, you just kind of would look down on, like you wouldn't even think second, you know what I mean, about this guy. And all of a sudden he was like my hero, you know? So I think there is this sort of Americana like that's real like in the world right now, like that it's out there, you know, as people live that way. And we don't value it, you know, we sort of have like undervalued somebody like that. And we've sort of like, I don't know, something in our society, we made the guy driving the Lamborghini more important somehow than this guy who's clearly more important. I think our values are messed up.
No, for sure. For sure our values are messed up. And this is such a beautiful, touching story. Like when you really listen, because it's like, you know, I am approaching my 30 and there's so many people my age and younger, especially in the bigger cities, that like they haven't even seen a live chicken ever. They haven't seen
a live. Talk about being disconnected. How many chickens have you eaten and you haven't seen a freaking live chicken?
Yeah.
It's how like, do you do your disconnect? Like how many chickens?
Yeah.
I mean, literally, if you lined up how many chickens you've eaten in your life, dude, like it would fill up your whole house. Like you'd have chickens everywhere, like so many chickens you've eaten. Like it's crazy how many chickens humans go through. And it's just wild.
Yeah, it's going to become normal. But in like, oh, but I saw it on Instagram. So that counts, right? I know how it looks like. Like you used to see a tiger and then be like, oh, I saw it on Instagram. I know how it looks like. Yeah, it's wild. And like, and I'm also seeing, you know, like more and more of my friends being like, we just want to live in nature. We want to live, we want to have a community. Like, a lot of people have this vision, but there's not enough examples. Like, yeah. There's not enough examples. I was talking to a buddy in the morning and he was like, dude, I got a great news. I was like, what is it? I just bought a tractor. And I was like, man, congrats. Like,
that's awesome.
Yeah. I mean, he's like 31. Runs his business.
It's great. He probably doesn't know what the hell he's doing too. Like, and that's awesome too. No, like, I mean, it's
this point.
That's it. It's just like, dude, nobody knows, you know, nobody really knows what they're doing. And, you just got to get out and try it, you know? And that's awesome. I love it. I mean, that's what we did. We went out and got this farm and like, I worked on a farm for a year, actually raised chickens. We were like, I slaughtered all these chickens in 1 year. And I mean, they're all organic, you know? But yeah, I mean, it just changes your relationship to food. It changes your relationship to like nature and health. And then to try to do it yourself. It gives you a whole nother appreciation for every meal that you eat, you know, when you're growing your own food and then you're like, you know, like we would go down in the morning and I would pick eggs, you know, from the hen house. And then, you know, I'd have like, we had all the spinach this 1 year. So I would just like every morning I would make it. And then I love the nettles. And then there's also this wild herb that grows out there in Ohio. It's like called ramps. And so we picked the ramps and nettles and spinach. I'd make this whole greens with eggs in it. And I would just make that in the morning. Just be like, damn, like this is like such good food. But I just felt so much appreciation because I was like literally going out and picking that at like 6 a.m, you know, in the morning dew. And like, I was just like going in the kitchen and making this. And I'm like, damn, this is crazy. Like, what a way to live, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it just gives you so much appreciation when I go to the farmer's market or something, you know, it's like these guys growing food. I mean, I don't know. I'm not doing it now, you know? So there's not enough like really solid organic farmers in the world for like how much food people need. There's so many of these big industry farms, you know?
Yeah. But you know, so, that makes sense. Like, it all comes down really to like really being able to hear and listen, like, what is the reality of your situation? Because I just started thinking as you said it, like, so many times I would think, how do we make so much food that it's for all the people, blah, blah. But we are, again, like, often thinking in terms of capitalism, because we are thinking like, how can one person produce for 99%? But if like 30% of people starts making their own thing, they start sharing it, giving it away, whatever, it's different. Because how many, like, you know, I don't know, I saw the other day, like, America used to have, like, 100 years ago, it was like 90% of farmers or something. Let's just say it's true, but something like that, you know? And then like up to now, it's like less than 10% or something. And that's why.
It's so small. And what's crazy is, you know, after World War II and everything, and there's another really great book. It's called The Omnivore Dilemma by Michael Pollan. But it's really cool. Like, he kind of breaks down the whole corn industry, which is so just completely bonkers now. I mean, it's just gotten so out of control that there is so much corn being produced that they don't even know what to do with it. Like, they literally have like these huge factories now that their sole purpose is like to divide the corn into tiny little parts and then create different things out of the corn. So now like things like plaster on your walls is made out of corn, like paint has corn in it. Like, it's crazy. They came out with ethanol, like a gas that uses corn, but it's so inefficient that they put so much corn into it that after all the petroleum that goes into growing the corn, it's like you're wasting so much resources on this corn. But they've built this huge mega, you know, industrial infrastructure around this plant. And it's really interesting because he theorizes, and I tend to agree with him, that this was like all corn's idea. Like corn started it, you know, like it was like a way for corn to like become like basically get huge, you know, because every plant kind of in its own way wants to proliferate. And corn did like a freaking amazing job. You know what I mean? Proliferate.
Yeah.
But now it's wild because every the corn, fructose syrup, high fructose syrup, all those things, like it's in almost, corn is in almost every food item, every processed food you can imagine has some form of corn in it. And we're pretty much made out of, like, most people in the US especially are a certain percentage of us are just made out of corn because, like, that's just in the food, you know?
It's
wild how, you know, how much that's gotten embedded into our sort of whole, and it's very economically industrial complex. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like really at the core of it. It's like corn, petroleum, you know, these certain things are like at the core of kind of the mega industrial complex. It's pretty wild.
How do we find the healthier way? Like, I'm curious, like, for the USA, for where you're at, because this is something I'm asking myself every day.
Like, I mean, it's expensive to really like eat really good food, you know, unless you're growing yourself. It gets expensive. I think we don't need as much food as we think we do. I think that's a big thing. I think if we eat less of cleaner food, I think we'll get equal amount of nutrition. Yeah. And I think I don't know. I think it goes back to listening, man. Honestly, like, you go in the grocery store, you don't know, because it'll be like, oh, it's organic. That's not organic. Blah, blah, blah. This, that, the other. I think that if you really like focus in and like forget all the signs and all the price tags and all the things and just really look at the vegetable, like, you'll see these certain vegetables are just vibing, dude. And I would just say, eat those. Just listen, like, learn to listen. Like, you can tell when a tomato is like vibing. Like, if I put like a bunch of tomatoes and like some fucking whatever industrial tomato, and then just like a big, like, one of the tomatoes my grandfather grew from his garden, the big freaking heirloom, amazing. And then these other, you would just know that tomato was just like vibing, you know, like, you'd look at it and be like, damn, look at that tomato. You know what I mean? Like, if you compared them. So I think there's something there. Like, I wouldn't prescribe as much to, like, the whether it's organic or not organic or how much it costs or who, whatever, all that shit. Just look at the ones that are vibing, because it's a relationship. And the people that grew it, like, when my grandfather grew that tomato, he would like put so much of his love into that thing, man. And he was just like, he was there for it, you know? And like, that's what you're getting. You're getting that, like, that attention, that awareness. And he sort of grew them under these, even like in this weird place. Like, I remember there's like power lines and something behind. I mean, it was a weird area, but dude, that tomato was still like the best one you'll ever have. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't matter all the other stuff. Like, I don't think a lot of that stuff matters. I think it's like, it's an energy, and you'll know. So I would just like, yeah, you go to Whole Foods or go to Sprouts or wherever you're going to go, just like look at the vegetables. And you'll know, just pay attention. That's kind of my, I think, yeah. But you got to go to the whole food, obviously. You got to go to like the actual original food. That's why we're so into, with the blends, we're so into just like the original herbs. Like, we don't, you know, we don't treat it. We don't do anything, you know, like, it's just the straight herbs, because it's from nature. It's the best. The less you can do, the better.
Yeah.
The less you do to it.
There's like no chemicals in production, in manufacturing process.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we just work with the organic farms. You know, we get the organic herbs. We sort everything by hand. So, it's, you know, it's how, like, anything should be, how food should be, how anything that we take from the plant world into our lives should be. So for me, a lot of the, like, the the overly processed, like, some of my pet peeves are like overly processed cannabis. Like, I don't know, what the fuck are we doing? Like, we're like pulling the THC off of the thing and all this shit. Go back to just the bud, you know? I don't even like the liquids. I mean, I'm just as guilty. I'll smoke a little liquid because it's easy and convenient, but it's like, God, I always feel weird about it too. I'm like, just go back to the original, man. Like, what are we doing, you know? all the herbal supplements that are like turned into pills, and then they put like 100 million ingredients and they say it's like good for your brain and whatever, you're chewing like neuro gum and all that shit. Like, I just think it's just over processed bullshit. Like, what are we doing? Like, there's plants that just have all that stuff in it. Like, go back to the original, man. You know what's happened when you pull those chemicals off of the plant and you treat them and extract them? You're missing a lot of these other micronutrients that the plant has. And that all that, when I think of micronutrient, I don't think of like a nutrient that your body needs to survive. I think of information. I think of like wisdom. I think a micronutrient is like information that you're missing from the plant. It's like knowledge. It's like wisdom. It's like a code. Wow. It's like a thing, you know. It's like nutrients to me mean information. Oof. Like, it's not, it's just like your body remembering, oh, that's how you make that one protein that does that one thing. It's like, yeah, people don't have that protein in their body that does the thing. And when you try to like dissect it biologically, medically, you're like, oh, well, you have this rare disease because your body can't create this one protein. Well, that's probably because you just don't have the information on how to create that protein. Like, you just need the information to do it, and then your body will do it, you know? So you're just missing like a micronutrient that we don't understand. We've created like a certain number of nutrients like B12s, and those are probably like big ones. I get it. But there's so many micronutrients that we don't even have a name for. We don't even understand. We don't even know what they are. And all these different plants have all of those, you know, micronutrients. So that's why it's important to go back to the original source. It's a source code. It's the original source code for life. So that's why we go back to that source code. You know, you have to go back to it.
Dude, you're blowing my mind. Makes sense. Like, because I really believe that, you know, we can heal ourselves. Obviously, I mean, if you're interested in like alternative health, you must believe that, right? You must believe healing is possible. And that, you know, after all, thinking about micronutrient as microinformation, it's like, it's incredible, because I feel now also like what herbs do, they help you to stop preventing micronutrients to flow to you, because you're slowing down. When you're anxious, we cannot access our whole being. We're just like, that's a low vibe that we can.
Yeah, it's crazy. And then that's basically what, you know, like nutraceuticals, like which is basically like a umbrella term for overly processed, like supplements and stuff like that. Like when you're trying to take creatine, you're trying to take all these things. Like what they're trying to do is they're trying to crack the source code. You know what I mean? They're trying to find, like, even pharmaceutical industry, that's what they're trying to do. They take a plant, and then they try to go, oh, it's like this one chemical in the plant, which is, you know, okay, they've isolated THC from cannabis as an example. And so it's this one chemical. That's the psychoactive one. And so you just like isolate on that chemical. Like, I isolate on DMT. I isolate on THC. I just put that one thing in. And now you're like creating a chemical. You're trying to crack the code is what you're trying to do. You're trying to, you're thinking that it's like a, this one chemical is the thing. But what you don't get is that the source code is actually the plant itself. Like, the source code that we will never be able to crack is that we are made up of the plant itself. Like, because we live on planet Earth and that lives on planet, like, we're the same thing. You know, we're living beings. And that's why we can't understand medically ourselves. Like, after all of this effort of breaking ourselves down medically, it's still overly complicated to understand how we operate, you know, and we're just trying to break the code. They're all trying to crack the code with like stem cells, all these things. And not that any of, like, a lot of it works and it works well, but in my opinion, the original source code is going to work the best every time. Like, and that's the raw plant kingdom. So, yeah. I mean, it has all the source code. So, we're never going to get, you know, maybe at some point we'll like figure all that out. And, but I don't know if we ever, I think it's sort of like an infinite well of information.
That makes me think, like, where do you think that people go wrong?
Oh, you want this? You want this? Just take that one. It's fine. Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe in the kitchen. Sorry, my kids are. Hey, check on Olivia for me. Is she okay? All right.
But I was curious, like, where do you see people going wrong with herbs? Because, like, many times I feel like we see people needing specific type of support, and then they go to herbs and they're like, oh, herbs don't work.
Yeah, I mean, it's not it's not a quick fix, you know. It's like a one pill and then I'm done. What you're trying to do is you're trying to train your body. Your body knows, right? Think about information. You can't just like read a book and then be like, oh, I know it all. It's experiential. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
What? I don't know. Just look around, dude. I don't know. I'm like live on TV right now.
Is she laughing?
She has a fart machine and she was making fart sounds with it. And she wants, and she's trying to get the charger to be able to recharge the fart machine because it's like running out of batteries or something.
Oh my God.
So I don't know. She's a comedian. Bye.
It's too wild.
Here, she wants, here, just do it right in the microphone. Okay, get it out of here. Go, go, go. Sorry. That was funny. A little fun. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's like when you read information, you don't just expect yourself to get it like really quickly, right? Like you have to absorb it. You have to process it. You have to understand it. So that's why a lot of herbalists will say, well, you're not going to get the good effects of an herb if you just take it once. Like you have to take it like over a period of like maybe two months, like every day, just a little bit. I'm a big fan of like microdosing, and the herbal version of microdosing is called homeopathics. So homeopathy is like kind of like taking an essence of something. And then there's also this idea of flower essences, which is like you're basically putting a flower in some water, just one flower in some water, and you're putting it in the sunlight and you're letting it kind of get its essence. And then you're just drinking the water. It's like, you're not even really getting like a whole bunch of stuff, a whole bunch of the code, let's call it, right? Like you're not getting a lot of it. You're just getting a tiny bit. And there's very interesting, studies on homeopathics. Like for example, there's an herb here. It's called Brugmansia. It grows everywhere around here. It's very poisonous. It's also very psychedelic. It's called also called Devil's Trumpet or Angel's Trumpet. It's a beautiful big trumpeting flower. It's everywhere. So that one, people have kind of experimented with it because it's supposed to have DMT in it. And like you can chew the seeds, you can trip out. And people have done that and like sort of lost their mind. But what they found, because it's almost like hitting a train. It's like it's so powerful of a psychedelic that you will like, you will just literally lose your mind for days at a time. Like it'll just, it'll mess you up super intensely. So anyway, what they found with this plant is that if you do a homeopathic version of it, it really helps with trauma. So that's very interesting to me because it's like, think about you getting hit by a train, right? Well, it's like, it's just a really subtle version of getting hit by a train. Like you're just doing it very subtly. Like you're just getting that information. Oh, that's what that feels like to suddenly have your world sort of collide and like get blown to bits. And now I'm just taking this in a tiny little fraction, So it starts to train your body on how to deal with that kind of level of trauma or that kind of level of like sudden change of your reality. So homeopathically, it's an incredible, you know, healer. In large doses, it's incredibly poisonous and can maybe kill you. I don't think it's ever killed anybody. I think it just makes you kind of completely lose your mind.
Yeah, forever.
but it might be, you know, some of those herbs, like, I don't know if anybody's ever, like, it's funny, they'll be like, oh, herbs are poisonous, but it's like super, super rare that people actually die from herbs, you know?
Yeah, I mean, alcohol is poisonous. We drink it, so.
Yeah, way more common for people to die of alcohol, way more common for people to die of pharmaceuticals, and way more rare for people to die of like an overdose of like a plant. But ironically, people are more afraid of plants than they are of those other two things. So it doesn't, I don't know. But well, yeah, I mean.
That's right. It's just our modern culture that's just pushing the narrative, and that's why we are skeptical, because we're so like divided from our nature. It's like, you know.
Yeah, it's wild. So I love homeopathics for that reason, because it's like a really small, like another great example is Rustox, which is the Latin name for poison ivy. Mm-hmm. And it'll, you know, it'll just mess with your skin, get you all itchy. And ironically, the antidote to poison ivy is poison ivy itself. Like, so if you eat the plant itself in tiny bits, and we used to do this because I used to get poison ivy when I, you know, kind of lived out in the country. So right. in the springtime when it would come out, I would start to eat it just a little bit, just a tiny bit, just chew it up, eat it little bits every day. And then you would never get it. Like your body was already adjusted to the energy of it. And you wouldn't have this like reaction to it.
That is wild to think about to me. Like as somebody who has had that experience many times of being in touch with poison ivy. So like you would just like eat it raw.
Yeah, just like and especially the little young early leaves. And you know, you just pick it with your fingers. I mean, what are you going to get poison ivy right between your fingers? Like you won't get it right there. You know, you'll get it on your face or in like sensitive areas on your skin. But I would just pick it and just eat it. Yeah.
Wow.
Like one little leaf, and that's it for the day. Next day, eat a leaf. Next day, eat a leaf. After about a week of that, you're not going to get it that season. If you do it for a week. And I didn't really understand why that was working before. But, you know, if you think about plants as information, like I just said,
yeah.
it starts to make sense now. It's like, yeah. Okay, your body like has that information. And a lot of like the plant medicine people will be like, oh, well, you're breaking out from poison ivy because you have intimacy issues, that you're having a hard time being vulnerable. It's opening you up to being vulnerable. Like there can be like an emotional reason why you're reacting, you know, to this new information that the earth's trying to give you, that the plant's trying to give you. So it's like an oil, you're reacting to it. And it's, you know, a lot of times people say, well, that's because you're not open enough. You're not vulnerable. You're not. It's interesting. So you never. Yeah.
It's super interesting. And like that leads me to something I wanted to ask you is like, you know, if we want to use the herbs to help ourselves, right? Like, and you talk a lot about the ritual and protecting the ritual. Like how do you see that like now, like 2026?
I mean, that is a really great question. And I think we're going to have to. I got my kids here wanting pancakes. And yeah, I mean, that's a big question to unpack, Jan. And yeah. I think that's the reason why we're starting this, kicking back up this podcast. And that's the reason that we're here today, you know, like, so. Yeah, man, I'm so grateful for you. I'm so grateful for like this opportunity, and I'm gonna do my best to like show up for everybody. I want to get, you know, start getting out and playing more music. That's where this whole product came from. I was like making these herbal blends when I was like, I used to be a musician playing out of music festivals, and it's when it first started, you know. And I think that's our audience, and I want to like bring all our people together, and I want to start to like learn this together, because I think everybody that's buying these herbs right now on Bear Blend are we're all like leaning into our magic self. We're all leaning into our inner magician, and we want to understand that connection to the plants and how that's going to open us, and it'll open everybody around us. It'll open all these things, because this is the earth speaking to us. So we just need to learn how to listen. I don't have the answers for how to listen. All I can do is listen and try. And that's why playing music is so powerful for me, because it's all about listening. Playing mm-hmm. music is all about yeah. listening, and listening to sort of the language of the world, and listening to the heartbeat of the earth, and listening to, these plants all have their own language. Imagine that. We're just learning that. But we always knew it. So I think that's why we're here. I think that's why we're doing the podcast. I'm excited to keep doing this, you know, and bringing other guests on, and just like going on a discovery with everybody about how we can learn this together, how we can kind of learn to listen better to the natural world, like, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And also like be an example and offer different possibilities, right? Because there's infinite possibilities to mix different herbs, to do different things. But I feel like giving also some kind of guidance is so important. And it also just starts by showing up. It's not complicated. It's not hard. And I feel that's also confusing about it, because like once you start feeling ease about like what direction to take, that's the right choice.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's just so simple. Why wouldn't you follow something that feels good? You know, it's wild. And I'm really also grateful to be here and just to see like, you know, how this affects people, you know, like it's just interesting. It's super interesting.
It's amazing, man. It's really awesome.
How long have you been doing this, actually? Like, I'm not even familiar. Like, when did
everything... I first started making the original blend, like, almost 25 years ago now. I was I was pretty young. I was in my early 20s, and I was... just living out on the farm. My brother and I started the farm. And then it just happened that we had no idea this was happening at the time, but we like started this farm in the middle of like this whole herbal world. Like there was Frontier, herbal research farmers, our neighbors. There was, Rosemary Gladstar was like coming down there. There was just all these amazing herbalists there. They have the United Plant Savers was right down the street, which is like their whole focus is like saving all these plants from going extinct. It turned out that that region of southeastern Ohio is like one of the most botanically diverse regions. It actually is the most botanically diverse region in the 48 states because just of all these colliding factors. It's where like American ginseng and black and blue cohosh and golden seal, all these different herbs grow there. So it's like, it was just kind of an eye opener to it. Like we had no idea. We were just, my brother and I were just like the neighborhood farmer boys hanging out, growing veggies, you know, and there were all these like world renowned herbalists from, you know, just traveling in and giving talks and lectures. So they had like a school, basically. They had like three schools right in that area. And so we just got, you know, I got kind of introduced into all this through, like, I was just hanging out backstage with all these like different herbal wizards and like smoking joints with them and stuff. Like that's literally what happened. Like we were just the local farmer boys wearing my like overalls, smoking, like showing up with my joints and hanging out with like these herbalists and like learning from, you know, just like sitting up all night with them around a campfire, like talking story about like their lives and like herbs and stuff, you know? So it was wild. I mean, we had Tom Brown came, I think, like, and gave this whole like lecture about, and that was, I learned about, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with him, but like he lives out in New Jersey, like in the Pine Barrens without anything, you know, like he just went out there to live like with like a knife or whatever. And he survived out there for like, I don't know, 100 days or more. I don't know. He just like, he's like kind of like, he's a survivalist, you know, but he's got all this like stuff about like tracking. He wrote a book about tracking. My brother was so into that. And so he would like do this tracking. So like we would just hang out in the woods and like try to wait for, you know, like sneak up on deer and stuff, like jump out of trees and like grab a deer and stuff like that. Like, you know, we were just having fun. I mean, I don't know. It was getting really close to nature. And, I lived in a teepee for a while, just like out in the, you know, in the woods. And yeah, so that was like what I was doing in my 20s, you know? And, I would still be there, honestly, if it weren't for this sort of spiritual awakening I had one morning in the snow, that where I was like, I woke up in the teepee and it was like, it gets so hot in the teepee. And I was just like kind of walking out into the snow, like naked. And I was just standing there naked in the snow. And this deer came up and was like, looked at me and it like walked right up to me. It was weird. And then it just looked at me and it was almost like, you ever see somebody like, they look at you and they're like, dude, what are you even doing here? Like, he gave me this look. He was like, fucking get out of here, dude. Like, this is my spot, dude. Fuck you. And I was like, what? I was like, I thought you liked me. Like, what? I was like all bummed for a second. I looked at him. I was like, huh? And then he was like, dude, you are done here. Like, you got to go now. And I suddenly had this like vision that I was like, oh, like nobody knows that this is even a thing. Like, I just realized, like, nobody knows that you can just live in a teepee in the woods. Like, nobody even knows that. Like, all these people are out there in the world just struggling and trying to, like, make money and do all this shit. And, like, I know I could just live here in bliss and just, like, live out in nature, but I suddenly felt this, like, burden of a responsibility to, like, get out and start sharing that information with people. Like, I couldn't just sit there. Like, this deer was like, dude, you're done, dude. Like, you graduated now. Like, why are you even still here? It was almost like I was like, you know, graduated high school. And then I was like going back again to high school the next year. And the guy was like, dude, what are you doing here? Like, you graduated, dude. Like, you're done now. Like, go into the world.
That's so cool.
And I was like, oh, and it fucked with me so much. Like, I couldn't get that deer out of my head for like a month. I was like, God, like, what is going on? And then finally I was like, dude, I guess I gotta go, you know. And that spring I like kind of launched out into the world, and I went and started, I kind of moved back into the town, and I started going back to school, and I started up my band, and I started doing all these things and kind of getting out into the world again. So,
well, like, with the band, you started kind of like first time sharing it with others, or?
No, I mean, yeah, I was sitting in the farm, like in my closet. I literally had an album that I made that was called From the Closet. And I was like in this, I set up a recording studio in the closet in our like double wide trailer like thing. That's what, you know, my brother lived in. And I was like kind of living in the teepee. And anyway, I set up this, it was like this tiny little recording studio, and I made an album in there. So yeah, I was writing songs and I was like into music a lot, but I never, I was just holding myself back from like being out there, you know? So I like moved into town and I started to like go to the open mics, and I started up a band. I met these guys and then we started playing all these gigs. And yeah, a couple of years later, we were like, it was kind of getting to be a thing. And so that, that's kind of what ended up launching my world into like the music. So from there I kind of went and then I moved to San Francisco and started playing music, and I was like, I'm just going to play music, you know? So that was my way of getting the message out there, which ended up being more of like a spiritual journey for me. Cause like, I was always back to that deer being like, okay, I'm here. Cause I'm like sharing the message of like nature and like living in this teepee. Like, how is that even, like, I could never really put it together, honestly. And I still have struggled with it. I mean, I'm still struggling with it, you know, like, how do I get this message out there? And I think you've really helped me, Jan. I just want to like acknowledge you, like for showing up and helping me to kind of see that, you know, these worlds are all connected. Like the herbs and like my music and this podcast is just, it's all been my effort to do that, you know, to share that information and that those like micronutrients from the plants. So yeah, I just got to keep showing up, and that's my focus for the years, like, and for from now on for the rest of my life, you know, is just to keep showing up for these things and try to make this happen for, you know, help everybody to see what that feels like to live in that teepee and to be that connected to the natural world and to feel so safe there, to feel so safe in the trees. It's like, it's the safest place for me, you know? So,
I get it.
Yeah, man.
I get it.
So, thanks for
Team Bear Bland. I'm curious, like this gap, you know,
well, that's for episode number two, man. We're gonna have to do this again, and I don't have to cut us off. I gotta go make my kids some pancakes and stuff. Yeah, make them some good food. But yeah, man, thanks so much for today. Let's do this, you know, let's work together. Let's make it happen. I really appreciate you. And thanks to everybody for listening. I don't even know if this thing went live. I don't know what's going on out there. If anybody's listening, that's great. I mean,
it's live, you know, live in the energy. So that matters. We're not going to stop anyway. So
yeah. We're not going to stop.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, until next time, I enjoyed it tremendously, and there's lots more to share. Yeah.
Well, we'll talk soon, huh?
All right, man. Thanks. Oh, my God.